is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story. It's been 3 years since ChatGPT first launched, and according to OpenAI, the American artificial intelligence company that runs the chatbot, 40 million people ask it healthcare-related questions every day. And now the company has launched a new health feature in Australia. So how does it work? And could it replace a visit to the doctors?
When you test a new drug or a new medical device, often there is at least published data in a peer-reviewed medical journal that will give people an understanding of how was the test or the drug or the device developed and what are the risks and what are the benefits. But we don't have that kind of transparency around ChatGPT help.
Today, medical editor for Guardian Australia, Melissa Davey, on the bot changing healthcare as we know it. It's Tuesday, the 20th of January. Melissa, welcome to Full Story.
Thanks for having me.
It's hard to keep up with the developments happening in the world of artificial intelligence. And earlier this month, OpenAI launched a new feature called ChatGPT Health. What is it?
So ChatGPT Health is different to regular ChatGPT, where you type in a health question and it might give you a general overview or some very general advice. So if you ask ChatGPT a health question, it might say that a test result is normal without necessarily taking into account the fact that you've got a specific health condition that makes it abnormal, unless you specifically tell it. ChatGPT Health will be a separate arm of ChatGPT that will provide tailored health advice based on access to your medical and health information. So what you can do is you can connect your health and wellness apps to ChatGPT Health, and with that information, it will give you more tailored health advice. The other difference between ChatGPT and ChatGPT Health is that the health arm is supposed to have extra safeguards in place. So rather than giving general advice that might not be tailored to your situation, or perhaps not going deeply into risks, side effects, or deterring people from going down a certain road, ChatGPT Health will have more of those safeguards in place to apparently give people safer health advice as well.
There is a lot to unpack in that answer, including some of the concerns that have been raised by experts. But I wanted to ask, who has access to this new feature, and have you joined the waitlist?
So not everyone has access at the moment. It's been rolled out to certain users. I don't know how it determines which users have access already, but everyone else can sign up to a waitlist. I don't have access yet, and I haven't signed up to the waitlist just yet.
Now, as you said, many people are already turning to generative AI for questions around their health and medical concerns. And you've reported about one instance where a man consulted artificial intelligence, ChatGPT to be specific, and that led him down a harmful path. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so this is just one example of many different cases that have been documented about what happens when people consult ChatGPT for health advice and it doesn't necessarily go right. And in this case, a 60-year-old man presented to hospital saying that his neighbour was trying to kill him. He was quite paranoid, obviously, having hallucinations, and had never, ever had any mental health problems before. So there was no obvious medical explanation for his behaviour. And then when doctors ran some tests, they realized some very unusual results in his chloride level. It looked extremely high, and this raised alarm bells. High chloride levels don't usually happen just on their own. And over the next day, the man's mental health really worsened to the point that he needed psychiatric treatment. And what doctors realized was that the man had been worried about his sodium chloride or salt intake. Mm-hmm. Salt, as you know, can have some bad health effects if it's taken in excess, and he wanted to cut down salt in his diet. In fact, he wanted to eliminate salt in his diet entirely, not necessarily the safest thing to do. But he searched online and used ChatGPT for advice. And based on, in part, advice from ChatGPT, he decided to replace table salt with something called sodium bromide. And he bought it on the internet and was eating sodium bromide daily for about 3 months. Now, sodium bromide used to be used quite commonly in medicines, but that was stopped because it has side effects like paranoia and confusion and fatigue. It can impair your coordination. So it's not used anymore. It's only used really for industrial processes like in laboratories and for cleaning products and things like that. So based on health advice from ChatGPT, this man thought he was reducing his salt intake and doing the right thing, and in fact ended up in hospital. And there are other cases where ChatGPT has tried to interpret test results and led people astray. So it definitely has limitations.
So the launch of this new feature is creating some concern amongst health experts. What are they saying are some of the risks?
So aside from the concerns we just spoke about giving inconsistent or unhelpful advice, there are concerns around privacy. How is the information stored and how is it protected? ChatGPT Health supposedly has high standards for keeping your data private, and anything fed to ChatGPT Health will be kept separate from ChatGPT. And OpenAI, that owns ChatGPT, has said that people's data will be protected. But what does that actually mean? And can this change down the track? What happens if down the track OpenAI changes their policies and decides to sell data to, for example, pharmaceutical companies or to insurance companies? OpenAI has said that they're not selling user data. They're not doing that. But I think the concern with any large commercial company is that that can change. I think other concerns are around how do they test the accuracy of ChatGPT Health? Mm. So they say that they have consulted with clinicians and doctors and that they use this tool called HealthBench, where they test a lot of different health questions and they get real clinicians and health experts to assess the answers and grade the answers and make sure that they're appropriate. And they use this to help train the model. But you don't see transparent results from these tests that are done on the back end. You don't see articles in medical journals assessing how well this process was carried out and what it found and any problems along the way. So it's not a very transparent process of developing the tool. And so that lack of transparency and lack of understanding about how data will be used are two of the key concerns about ChatGPT Health.
Mm. Right. So we don't exactly know how doctors were involved in developing this product.
We were told that they helped assess output and answers, but how many questions were asked? What questions were asked? How did doctors or other health experts determine whether the responses were accurate? What was deemed an accurate result? Do the results change depending on the question that is asked and how it's framed? How many questions and inputs have been assessed? What were some of the flaws in the design? How were those flaws remedied? And what was done when aspects of ChatGPT Health were found to be inaccurate or misleading? How much misinformation was given along the way? So they're all questions that we don't have transparency over. And if you think about when you test a new drug or a new medical device, often there is at least published data in a peer-reviewed medical journal that will give people an understanding of how was the test or the drug or the device developed and what are the risks and what are the benefits. But we don't have that kind of transparency around ChatGPT Health.
We know that governments are scrambling to respond to the real rapid developments in the AI space. What kind of guardrails would experts want to see put in place here?
So there are organisations like the Consumers Health Forum that say that really OpenAI and these big platforms paving the path, leading the way, coming out with these platforms and products before the government has even done anything at all or implemented any kind of safeguards or legislation. So that is a problem when you have a multi-million dollar or a billion dollar company collecting information from Australians, and we don't really know how that information will be used long term and how it will be safeguarded. So the problem is that governments aren't really, it seems, on the front foot when it comes to responding to tech advances like this. And you might remember that there was a lot of discussion and concern about My Health Record, which is the platform that the Australian government uses for people to upload their medical records from doctors and specialists. And there was a lot of concern about privacy around that and whether people would be able to opt out and how to keep certain records private. And they were all legitimate questions. And at least in those cases, there is some accountability. We can ask the government questions. We can ask them how data will be used and stored. But when you have a company like this that is a big private company, we don't really have governments pressing them for answers to those questions. And I think there is concern that this is not a small not-for-profit company. This is a large organisation, a large company that is interested in making profit and being sustainable. So what do they need to do with that information in order to maintain that sustainability?
We'll be right back. You approached OpenAI, which developed ChatGPT Health, about some of these concerns. What did the company say?
So they made it clear that they are not going to sell user data. They made it clear that the platform, the health platform at least, will not have ads. They made it clear that health information given through ChatGPT Health does not replace medical advice and is not supposed to be taken as medical advice. It's supposed to complement health information. It's supposed to give people access to information so they feel more empowered and perhaps to help them make decisions, but it's not supposed to be the tool that makes health decisions for people.
Now, we know that AI can produce confident but incorrect information known as AI hallucinations, and that there are pitfalls with turning to AI for health advice. But doctors and clinicians can get things wrong. They can misdiagnose. They may also be influenced by their own bias. I wonder whether you see any positives for patients from this.
I think there are absolutely positives when people have more information and when they feel empowered. I think that there are so many examples of people feeling like they can't access a clinician for whatever reason, whether that be medical costs, whether it be waiting lists, or perhaps they have felt dismissed or ignored or rushed at previous appointments. So there's no point trying to tell people not to turn to ChatGPT or ChatGPT Health or other platforms for advice. In some ways, it's similar to, it's an extension, it's an advancement of using Google, though there are obviously many concerns around privacy and transparency and data collection. So I think that it can be really empowering for people. And we've named some examples where ChatGPT has gotten advice wrong, but there are many examples, I'm sure, where people have received helpful or reassuring advice that was correct and fair. And I think the other role that ChatGPT Health can play is it can help you come up with questions to ask a specialist, and it can help you go into an appointment with a clinician a little bit more informed and with some important questions to ask. So I think there's a lot of benefit to it. I think for me that the key concern comes down to who is storing the information, who's using it, how's it used long term, who's setting the rules around privacy and transparency and data collection. And when this is a point made by some of the experts I've spoken to, when commercial platforms start defining the norms, then where do the benefits flow? We've got to be really mindful of that. We've got to be monitoring these companies, monitoring the way that this data is being used. And I think that tech is moving so fast that we just kind of accept these changes and they become normal and we get used to it. And The fear is that one day we will turn around and realise that our data has been used in some unethical ways, not necessarily by this company, but it's a risk when you're dealing with any large private company without much transparency.
Melissa Davey, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was medical editor for Guardian Australia, Melissa Davey. You can find more of her work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to Melissa's latest piece on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, who also did the sound design and mix. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget you can subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Catch you next time.